Okay, we're live. And this is a several things session. First of all, I do something every Sunday about this time called Learning Together. And so this is a Learning Together event. My name is Vance Stevens. I'm in Al Ain, United Arab Emirates. We have Nina Liakos here. Nina happens to be the head coordinator for the EVO, Electronic Village Online. We're stuck into Electronic Village Online about coming into 3 weeks now. And that's at evosessions.pbworks.com. And this is Minecraft MOOC EVO session. And its tag is EVO MC15. And we have with us Marianas Smolcic. Smolcic? Got it. Getting better at these. I have trouble pronouncing almost everybody's name. Nina, I finally got. Liakos. It took me a while. And we have another one here, Barbie Buitas. You want to correct me on.
Buitash.
Say that again?
Buitash.
Buitas.
Buitas.
Okay,
No,
great.
don't
Okay. All right. Well, it's so wonderful to know how to pronounce people's names. Okay, well. Gosh, Barbie, maybe we could start with you. You could just tell us who you are and why you're here.
Okay, can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
All right.
Yes.
So I'm a freelance English teacher from Hungary, and I live in a very small town, and this is a very special market because I teach everyone. I mean, not everyone, but anyone. So I teach company courses, I teach little kids. I mean, very young learners, very, very, very young learners, like 2 year olds, and everyone. And as for Minecraft, I have part of my clientele or my portfolio is children who do English at school, but either they struggle or their parents want them to have better grades or some extra tuition, and that's why I have lessons with these guys once, twice a week, and these are one-to-one lessons. And I think it was about a year ago that I realized that these boys, because they're typical boys, started to talk about a game, Minecraft. And first I thought that it's just any other video game, and then very soon it became clear that well, it's not just any game. And then after Mariana and Philip's webinar, which was in summer, wasn't it, Mariana?
Yeah.
Before that, I thought of using this in my lessons. I mean, Minecraft. But after that, I downloaded my first Pocket Edition on my iPad, and then I started using it in my lessons, and I want to know more about it. That's why I'm here.
Thank you for
Great.
sharing that with us. So you say that you have been listening to Philip and me during the Reform Symposium conference
Yes,
because you
that's
say the
right.
summer.
Yeah,
I think
that's right.
Well, that was Shelley asked us because she was let's say amazed when she came to Croatia in 2013. She was amazed with the fact that both of our sons speak rather good English, even though they are not native speakers. And we discussed it, and I said that they are playing a lot of online games, even though they are 10 or 11, and the younger one is only eight, was 7 or 8 then, 17. Philip thinks that he's a grown up already. He thinks that he's like 17 now. When he gets to be 17, then he will say, "No, I would like to be 11 again."
Yeah, sure.
The game was, as you said, a good start to learning English. And the other day, I had a discussion with my colleague from a school in Ogulin. She also teaches high school students, vocational students, actually. And I was just telling her that her students were very well in the school competition in the regional area. And she told me, "You know, those kids are all my gamers." they are now 16 or 17, but they are all gamers. So how they learned English to have a certain knowledge to go to school competitions, which in Croatia are rather difficult, and they have many word formation, use of English, reading, listening activities. They are more difficult than those that you teach them in the class. And she tells me, yes, well, they mostly learned all of that English through playing games. And the fact that they know certain phrases and idiomatic expressions is through chatting or communicating with online people. And Philip is just showing himself. Yes, me too. I'm the one who also learned it like that. Yeah. Well, and as we know, kids, when they are very young, they absorb the language with both sides of their brain, as I have read somewhere, and there was also a documentary on TV. And it's more easier for them also to acquire a good accent, more fluent, and so on. So this is how he started, and I'm very glad that you have downloaded a Minecraft even in summer, right? I think there were several people saying that that they have downloaded in a mobile phone or iPad, as you have. I think you have posted in Facebook that you own it. Okay.
Yeah. So that's what convinced me, really. And well, and it paid off.
So can I ask you, so the students are mainly 10, 11, 12, those that are playing Minecraft, or they are younger?
Well, that's strange because, I don't know, I kind of, do I push it? So I don't know, because I've got a student who's a first grader, and it's a girl, and I showed her Minecraft, and she loves it, and now her mom downloaded it on their tablet at home, and but she's very, very engaged and very interested, but she's a bit a boyish kind of girl. And I get another student who is you know, 7 or 8, and she's a girl too, and kind of likes it. And there was another girl who was, well, she was older. So even younger. And as for older people, they love it too. So I mean, the older people, like 17-year-olds. And girls, so it's surprising that some girls played a lot. I don't know. So this week it was that it was a 12-year-old girl who said that she plays. Oh, really? Okay. Oh, here's my tablet. Make a trap. So yeah.
Well, yeah. The good thing about the Minecraft is that there are. It's not just about learning language, but mainly we are here to talk about how students can learn a foreign language through playing video games, right? Even though everybody says that Minecraft is developing so many different skills, right?
Yeah.
Beck, what do you think, Vince?
Well, that's definitely why I'm here. I've been wanting to get more into Minecraft for a very long time. I've been kind of circling around the periphery of it, understanding by listening to other educators talk about it, how engaging it is for students. And I teach kids, military cadets. So they're actually going to be pilots, and I might have trouble getting them to buy the game, but I think some of them already have it. And in order for me to start something where I'm teaching, I need this to learn more about it than I already know. So this has been so for me, as far as learning about teaching, I think a teacher can learn how to learn, and that's this session is unique in that we didn't really start it with any with people who already knew what they were doing. It started when I got Mariana and Philip to go in with me, or to help me write an article. They wrote their part of it about Philip's language learning experiences using Minecraft. And I did some research, and two of the people who had done some work that I quoted were Dave Donaldson and Dave Dodgins, sorry, they were more frequent here, I would remember his name a lot better. But Dave Dodgson and Jeff Kuhn, who has been very helpful in getting us started with a server, and he used it. He was writing about using his college writing programs. So basically, Mariana, who also didn't know much more than me about playing Minecraft, agreed to co-moderate this session, which is odd because when people have no expertise in something, it's odd that they will dare to moderate something like this. But that's where the theory of learning comes in. I feel that it's something that teachers should learn in the way we expect students to learn it, and that is just by getting in there and doing it. And I think that's really working, because a lot of the teachers who've joined us, we have probably about 20 people now, I suppose, or at least a dozen and 20 who are actually joining us at the server, Barbie being one of those, and my wife, Bobby, also. So we're all in, I feel that we're learning quite a lot. I think Wesley Fryer posted four stages to learning Minecraft, and the first is novice and then apprentice. The second one, apprentice, his definition of apprentice is that you can do something if someone shows you how. And I definitely feel I'm an apprentice. I haven't moved into survival mode and master of the game yet, but certainly I'm learning a lot about it, and I'm also learning about how fun it is. It's starting to get a lot more interesting. So,
yeah. Well, you are, I think, Vance, an apprentice, or like in Star Wars, an apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
I was just asking Philip to explain us, how do kids his age, Croatian students, do they speak English also rather good, or they mainly communicate in Croatian when they play Minecraft? Yeah, well, he tells me that they do like to play with students from Croatia, or the kids. So what the point with him was that he wanted to communicate with others, and actually he was very early familiar with Minecraft, so the players were from other countries, so he was forced to speak English in order to learn and more. But as many of you, and now you have also just said, Vance, he is that type of a child, or like my colleague Ayat mentions, her students, they are those type of students who would like to find out on their own, who learn more, who are not satisfied with the things that are offered for them, who are seeking, I don't know, trying to find other ways. And first you will start learning basics of the language, basics of Minecraft vocabulary, let's say. Then he started practicing it in speaking them. And the more you speak, whether you are making mistakes, and you can see that from his YouTube videos. If you watch some of his YouTube videos 1 year ago, you will notice the progress between, yeah.
The first ever video that I have created, I said soul, but I was gonna say saw.
Saw.
It's like saw, like sa.
What did you have to pronounce?
I needed to pronounce saw.
Saw.
Yeah,
saw.
Yes.
Okay, and you pronounced it how?
Pronounce it saw. Soul.
Soul. He is talking how he noticed that he was mispronouncing certain words, in this case past simple of the verb see, differently in one of his videos 1 year ago, and how his pronunciation got better during a year. But that was just the practice. And now you cannot shut them up at home, both of them, are speaking English, and my husband tells me, have you noticed they are speaking English all the time? You have to tell them to stop speaking English. And Philip is okay. He was a bit older when he started playing Minecraft. He was 8, right? And the younger one was around 5 or 6. For him, he was still learning certain phrases or syntax or morphology of words, but in a way, English became a stronger language, I would say. And as one of the colleagues, maybe Barbie, you will remember, he was from Canada. He said that Domagoj, probably the younger son, got the language shifting. Yeah, he thinks in English. He doesn't think in Croatian. He thinks in English and translates into Croatian. So for me, that is now a problem, and I need to practice more Croatian with him. But Filip is okay. He can master both languages equally without any problems shifting from another to... So what I noticed... there is no need to force your child to learn English or any other foreign language before the age of 6 or 7, when they are very good at speaking their mother tongue. That depends, maybe. And then maybe force them another language, but also to be exposed to it, like Filip and Domagoj later have been to Minecraft and YouTube videos, and now for them it's no problem to communicate and then to understand all of you from speaking in English, right? So that's it. Should I add something?
I speak actually English better than Croatian.
You're lying. You're not speaking
better. Yes, in school to my teachers, I almost said when she was talking to me, she was questioning me, and I was in Croatian class, I almost started speaking in English. I said I, like, but not in Croatia.
Not
like,
yeah.
I started saying first English, then I switched back to Croatia. I started saying, for example, I think it is, and then I switched to Croatia.
Yeah, it is something, and then they said, then, oh, oops, let me switch back to Croatian. For instance, it is in... Well, I think these things happened, but I was familiar with the fact that these things happen to bilingual students, right? To somebody who is in the family where two parents are from different backgrounds. One is, for instance, English, the other is French, and you force kids to learn both of the languages. Or if you move somewhere, then you want your kids to speak your mother tongue and the language that where you are living at the moment. But I have never, for me, this is the first that I have noticed, because I'm a teacher, and I noticed that they could be so in love with another language, in this case English, and they're too much. I think it's too cool for them to speak, and it's normal to speak about gaming and games and everything else in English rather than in Croatian. Why? Probably because all the games come from an American or a British market, nobody makes games in Croatian for Croatian market. Or if they would, they would also make it for a world market, right? So it would be also in English. So maybe that's the reason. I don't know. What do you think? I'm talking too much now.
Let's say hi to Carol, who's just joined us. Carol Rainbow.
Hello.
How are you? Yes, we can hear you.
Great. Hi, everybody. Sorry, I went into Minecraft. Talk about lost. I thought that's where you were all going to be.
Ah, well, you found us.
Carol wants to...
Fine.
Carol would like to try her bow and arrow again.
I have been. I've been doing exactly that. Is it Kalios? Kalios is there. So, of course, when Kalios came in, I thought, oh, everybody else will be here in a minute. And then I thought, well, it's gone past time, and then looked at the notification. Of course, it's here. So, sorry.
Well, we could multitask. I've got another computer over here, but I doubt if I'd be able to focus very well on either of them. But, of course, we could always go there afterwards.
Thank you, Nina, for the comment. I'm just reading her comment about how important is and precious to have your own native language. I'm just saying that to Filip. And Croatian is a language with various dialects, really. So you have to practice it more often. No. Okay. Sorry, Carol. Continue, please.
I finished. I'm listening. I think Philip's English is incredible. Amazing for his age. Saying that he's learnt it from a game, it's just wonderful.
Yeah, but he has like, I don't know whether the accent, Shelley said that it's almost like American native accent when she heard him for the first time when they met. She came to Croatia, but I noticed, yeah, thank you, Nina. Dobar dan. And then he was playing, I think I mentioned it, in Jeff Koons' Google Plus last Sunday. He was started playing to some boy from Britain. Was he from Britain? United Kingdom. And he has a great British accent like you do, Carol, which I love. And then he told me, no, I'm not going to speak American anymore accent. I'm going to speak British. It's fabulous. It's
super. Isn't it funny?
I do.
I need a cup of tea.
I didn't pronounce it. I need a
cup of
tea.
A cup of tea. Okay. I'd like a cup of tea, please.
Okay. So, Philip, maybe we can ask him to talk more about survival mode for those of you who still haven't tried it. What do you think?
That's a good idea. And by the way, I'm putting the... Nina has just subtly told me that I forgot to replace the video recording with the live video stream in the live embed at webheadsinaction.org/live. All the YouTube links work, but I'm doing that right now in the background. I'm just making that replacement.
Okay. So what we have basically been doing so far, Carol and Barbie, you have Alonso playing, and Bobby, Vance, Jeff, Kalios, he's also a young boy from Spain, like a bit 1 year older than Philip. So we have all been playing creative mode, which is very, very nice. You can see how students can develop their creativities. Philip has building McDonald's. Carol was trying to ride a horse and shoot with a bow and an arrow. So it was... it was a fun way, and Philip was a bit trying to create so many rabbits or whatever. But the creative mode is a good practice to survival mode. And if you have noticed some tips for how to make a daylight or how to make a night, I think in one of the games that we played, I think it was on Friday, you said that day lasts for like 8 or 9 minutes and night like about 10 minutes. And somebody asked, I think Carol, you were, can you cheat in survival mode not to be attacked every 10 minutes by zombies or anybody else? But unfortunately not, right, Philip? Yeah. Can you explain that about
survival? You can't cheat in survival mode if you enable cheats in the beginning when you create your world. And, if you press escape when you're in survival mode, you can click open to LAN and then allow cheats. Uh-huh. And you can basically cheat in survival mode if you do that.
Can I ask many of you, because I'm more mainly a newbie still, not apprentice like Vance, because I don't have time playing it so much, and usually they are teaching me when we are playing on our local server. They somehow invite me and I play on my laptop. But what I noticed, I'm not very skillful in gaming anything. So, he's nodding. My son is nodding. Right, Mom, no, you're not skillful at all. It was difficult for me, and it took me about an hour just to figure out moving forward, yeah, backward, left, right, how to fly. And then when I started building these blocks, right, left click, it took me like, and I would like build something, and then I would destroy it.
Yes.
Or you would destroy it. So, as Jeff mentioned, it takes you about 400 hours maybe to become like an expert in building. So how long did it take you, Philip, to do that?
About 3 months.
And how many hours a day did you play?
About 3.5 or 4. Sometimes.
Yeah, so he would play like 3 or 4 hours a day during the summer, because we discovered Minecraft during the summer. And it took him like 2 or 3 months just to play and then start building. And in a year after that, I think he started to make his own YouTube videos. Maybe we can start screen sharing. What do you want to show us, this? Some kind of survival tips, how to create craftings. Morošićina too. Okay, so start sharing here. Čekaj da ti se pojavi. Ok, to. To. Klikni to, screen share. Ok. Now, entire screen. Share. Very good. Ok, something. Do you see the map that he's showing at the moment for crafting?
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. Uh-huh. I'll make it stay on the screen.
This is some basic survival crafting. Now, right here, this is wood. Left. Yeah, and the wood, you chop that down at your beginning when you load up the world. Then down here, you can craft sticks. And then this right here is called coal. And coal can be found in caves. Now, you need to have a pickaxe. Now, pickaxe is right here to craft it. Two sticks and three wooden planks, which you get from
Do you get here. Do you get the pickaxe when you enter survival mode?
No, you have to craft it.
You have to create it. Are all these tips for creating certain tools that you need somewhere in the maps where you can find out how they are made?
So to have like these 3x3 slots in here, you'll need to craft a crafting table, which is shown right here, four wooden planks, and it will create a 3x3 crafting squares. Not
square.
What's that? 3x3 slots, so you can create items, materials for your survival.
Now I'm just getting an idea. I think Barbie will probably get the same if she's teaching teenagers like Philip. What you can do is, or maybe what Dave Dodgson did also, you can ask your students if they are into Minecraft to explain you certain items and how do they use them, why do they use them, just to practice their English skills. Or maybe you can also have an example of a grammar function. There is, there are, you should use this, you mustn't use that, you have to use this, so modal verbs as well. So for me, just looking at what he is now doing and explaining to us got me some idea of how Minecraft can be used, especially if they are familiarized with the vocabulary. For me, none of these words are so familiar. Yeah, for instance, axe, I know what axe is, but he is explaining about pickaxe, and then you have these swords. And what type of sword do you have? You can have a wooden sword, I don't know what other swords, a bow and arrows. So those are really, for some, basic vocabulary, but also for some students, new. You just implement some type of grammar points into it, and for me, I think I would use it in this way. You can stop sharing now, please.
That's a good way to use it. First, it was a
Can we stop sharing? Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Carol.
Yeah. Yes.
What do you think about my suggestions about how we could use, let's say, for learning English? In this case, I just got an idea. What would I do if I have some elementary students, like, let's say, to use the language to explain?
Could explain to each other how to make tools. They could explain to you how to make tools, and yes, they could explain to the whole group or the whole class how to use them. It's a great idea. It's a very good starting point.
Yeah. Would you just tell us about the, or maybe the people know, I don't know if anybody of you has started survival mode before?
Oh, I tried it. I tried
you
it,
did.
I told you last week.
So can you?
Well, when I first went in, I didn't know there was a creative mode or a survival mode. And this is a couple of 3 months ago I was trying to learn it. So I ended up just in survival mode and got killed about 5 times on the first day and gave up, and went back about a day or two later and got killed about 3 times, and at that point I just gave up. I just couldn't see how I could begin to. Well, I actually watched a couple of videos on how to build yourself a den and put lights to protect yourself. I could never do it in the time I was allowed, the 8 minutes. So of course I just got killed. I was useless.
But I think survival mode also has several levels. You can start like easy, right?
Not levels, like difficulties that monsters or mobs will attack you. So for example, peaceful, there are no mobs or monsters. And easy, they're in easy mode. Normal, they attack you more aggressively. And hard, they really attack you. If they attack you, you lose 5 hearts.
Yeah, you have like this heart for the life.
Life.
And in order to get life, what do you have to do?
You just need to eat for your hunger bar. If it's all the way up, your hearts regenerate.
Yeah, but where do you find
slowly.
Food, Philip?
Yeah. You have to kill pigs and cows, and I think
your bow and arrow.
Okay,
can
so I, yeah, the bow and arrow, and I think Carol has been practicing very well in the creative mode, so maybe she's good to go in next week to play survival.
Yes, but I've got to make the bow and arrow, then I've got to find the sheep or cows, then I've got to kill them just to live long enough to make my den so I'm not killed. This is 8 minutes worth of daylight. I've got to do all this.
So
it takes me hours.
And enable cheats.
You can watch videos. You can find videos about how to survive online, and they explain the things you need to do first, like Philip was explaining, the crafting table, the pickaxe. In our game, we don't seem to have a lot of trees around, so where do you get materials if you're in survival mode? And one more question about that. I've noticed that some people are entering survival mode together with us who are playing in creative mode. How does that happen in the same server?
So right now, this is creative mode and our server. And the world that we're playing on is super flat. So I created the world on super flat. So if you disable super flat in the world options before you create it, it will just remain with hills, mountains, and the general Minecraft for just for survival.
But didn't I think that what Vance was asking? Kalios asked Philip when we were playing on Friday to allow him to go into survival mode, something like that, to be able to take something. Was that?
He was testing out his pickaxe.
He was testing some pickaxe, but as he thinks he's not quite sure. But I remember Jeff. He was explaining in the Skype chat that he, as an administrator, and Philip was one. They could make daylight, night, right? And then they gave permission to Carol as well, in that case. The trees, can you put trees in the flat mode?
Yes, there's an inventory, there's a sapling that you can put, and it will grow, it will grow slowly if it has water and sun. And if it's raining, it will go really fast. So. And if you have a bone meal, which will be in your inventory in creative, and if you right-click on the sapling, it will just grow instantly.
Okay, can you write in chat? He's going to write in chat the name of the item that you can have to choose from the inventory, and plant some trees. Either they are going to grow slowly, by normally, or you can even make them grow quicker. Cheating again.
Water.
Like Asterix and Obelix in the Asterix and Obelix in Egypt, or in the film, they are making some seeds, and then suddenly it is a palm tree. Okay, so oak sapling, perfect. So that's for creating wood. Okay, Vance? Do you have any more questions?
I couldn't find my unmute. I want to make sure to ask people when they're not speaking, if they just mute their microphones, that way we cut down background noise. That's just something we try to practice, but then it's hard to unmute. It's kind of like being in Minecraft itself, having to pull certain tools out of your quiver there. That answered my question. So people can be in the same server. You can enter the server in survival mode and still still play with the other people, except that you might die, or how does it appear to other players?
You might die, yeah. It doesn't show anything. In survival mode, of course, you can't fly. So the people who are in creative mode and the player who is, for example, in survival mode, they don't see he is in survival mode. It will sometimes say in the chat that that he is in the survival mode.
Mm-hmm, it will say.
Yeah.
So some players can be in survival mode and playing on your creative server, right? Someone made me be in. Yeah, I think Philip put you in survival. Yeah, I know. Oh, sorry, he didn't. Maybe somebody else did. I think he was allowed to do some of the things in creative mode. And at one point, many of us were in survival mode. What did we see? Because you said that you have like this heart bar, right? Somebody of you mentioned that. I think, Carol, it was you. Yeah? Okay. So in survival, this is interesting. I didn't know that in survival mode you cannot fly.
Yes.
So no flying in survival, not escaping from the zombies and mobs. No way.
Only building from them.
Only building.
Yeah.
Okay. So which is the most dangerous of them all?
In my opinion, creeper.
Creepers. How do they look like?
Green. They look lime green and dark green. They have four legs. Mm-hmm. They have four legs and no arms.
Can you kill them easily?
No. They will explode.
They will okay, if you
they
touch
will explode.
Them.
No, if you punch them with a sword and back away from them, they will they're sort of like making noises.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Oh, very good, Barbie. Creeper. Nice, Barbie. Can you tell us these paper sheet that you have showing? Did you use them with your students?
Yeah. Today I had a lesson and I used these with the little girl. And the story is that I wanted to teach her how to make a sand trap. And PE, so Pocket Edition. Because she has a tablet at home and I wanted her to play. And in the meantime, she was trying to make the trap or whatever, I typed these words that I wanted her to remember, like creeper, pig, sheep, whatever, in Quizlet. Do you know Quizlet?
Quizzes and tests. For quizzes and tests,
yes,
right?
Yes, we know it. It's one of many vocabulary practice card shufflers.
Well, this is a web tool, basically, and I think I will share this set with you in the chat box. And I just very quickly, while she was, I don't know, practicing the manual part of this, I just very, very quickly made a set on Quizlet and very, very quickly printed these cards, and I have a pile of these cards, and then after a kind of a 5-minute session, she just played, and I was busy with creating the cards. After that, we played all these traditional flash card games like matching and, you know, hiding the cards, and you find it. It's just manipulation. So I just wanted her to memorize some of these words. So I share with you that set. It really takes it's a question of minutes, and you can create these cards. And you know, it's a user generated something, so users generate the content, and you find on Quizlet you find a lot of Minecraft things like creeper, and then you can have the definition of a creeper, or what it can do or it can't do, or how you can do it. So it's good.
Yeah, thank you. Unfortunately, for instance, I cannot use it in class ever. It's good you are having a one-on-one student, and whether they are like it to play Minecraft, or you can introduce them to that. But I have heard, and I think David, he's not with us, they buy these Minecraft for edu, for education. They buy these servers. Vince is maybe more familiar with that. And students are playing in one server. They are building together. They are creating. So maybe they can learn English in that way, in one environment, in one classroom, for instance. So my students are teenagers. They probably stopped playing Minecraft, many of them. They did used to play, but when I always learn, or when we talk about video games and gaming, and I practice vocabulary, I always ask them and about the certain vocabulary. They explain, what do you say? What is Minecraft? What type of game? Multiplayer. Then what is single player? And the point is, always are the boys those who know most of the language. Girls don't, but I do need that language for brainstorming, because I always try to teach when I do brainstorming for writing an essay, whether video games are good for learning English or bad, or because there is always a lot of discussion of parents who say that their students are not doing a lot of homework because they're always playing games. So in a way, when I use games vocabulary or anything else, I use it in that way, when they need to have critical thinking and use the language that they know, and so on. So not so much into gaming, but Felipe, sorry, he's showing me some things.
Yeah. There's this Minecraft Edu. Let's see, Wesley Fryer has a page. This is full of resources. I just put it in the Hangout chat. He teaches it for. He's giving workshops on STEM learning right now, but it seems that Minecraft is amenable, you know, is malleable by teachers and students, you know, that you can learn almost anything you want. In my case, I'm just learning a bit about learning. So the goals can, anyhow, there's at that stem.westfryer.com/home/Minecraft. There are numerous resources about how to play the game and what kids are doing with it. So I thought that was a really productive resource. Are you familiar with Wesley Fryer, by the way?
I'm not. I'm sorry. Maybe we will probably get out. What's your message? Philip said that I shut down the computer by accident. Are we okay?
You're okay. No, you're still there.
Yes.
Well, STEM is mainly for like science, right? Mathematics, physics, and other. I have noticed many people are trying to teach history also through Minecraft, creating these worlds. I think Jeff also talked about this. So it could be used in many subjects. And as you mentioned, the events we discussed, that a lot of homeschooling, a lot of kids in America are homeschooled, and we read those articles for the article that we wrote together. How the mom are using Minecraft to teach their girls certain types of behavior subjects in playing Minecraft. So it can be used for really various things. What I think for languages, we have just mentioned few. Barbie mentioned some, I mentioned some, maybe Carol, she will be more familiar with speaking activities, because they are doing lots of machinima, right, in Second World, and this is what Philip does in Minecraft or any other games. He's just practicing his English and explaining in the familiar environment, talking, and as teachers we can ask our students to do the same thing for Minecraft, maybe to show us something and just practice. It can be in class, it doesn't necessarily need to be in the online if you don't have computers. They can make some video and show later in class and explain, like Dave Dodgson used with his primary school students. Tamash also had some type of idea how to use Minecraft. So there are many. We can maybe open a Google document and just add a lot of ideas what for certain skills in English, why could we use Minecraft for what type of skill or listening activities or video watching or something like that. I don't know. It's just an idea.
Well, you've touched on a number of things, and one is the Machinima EVO session that's going on now, and Carol is representative of that, and I'm sure we can see connections between making Machinima and then making movies and storytelling using Minecraft, and that would be a great thing to get started in week three, learning a little bit how to develop narratives and scenarios in Minecraft and filming them. And we've already had some really interesting stories of people pressing buttons and exploding obsidian buildings and riding horses and doing all kinds of interesting things. And making hamburgers, you know, things like that.
We can try and develop a scenario, and Philip can, because I asked him to do so in week three, record with Fraps, and it would be nice if we can go to Skype all together, because if I remember, Carol, you said, and he's actually doing it like that, you can record voice through Fraps directly into Minecraft, so everybody will get a role. Carol will be a Robin Hood.
I've got to be Robin Hood. The only thing I can do.
We will see. The ideas may just appear. We can try and open a Google Doc and start adding ideas, and then maybe set maybe first to decide when that would be. Maybe we can do on Sunday at 2 p.m. instead of having learning together. Maybe we can try and do. Because Vince, I remember you mentioned that you cannot do this Friday or something.
This weekend, yeah, I'm away. I'm doing some scuba training. But next Sunday, we're very busy. We have the session in the ICT for ELT that I'm supposed to be speaking at. And we also have...
Oh, I forgot. and I'm moderating.
Yeah. And an hour before that, we are Jeff Kuhn and I, and anybody else who wants to join us, are supposed to be in WizIQ for the Connecting Online 15 conference. But we could do it some other time. You know, we can find week times that I think this week I'm pretty free. Tomorrow I'm supposed to go off somewhere, but after that... Tuesday or Wednesday would be fine. And then we could also do it next week. And don't forget also that Minecraft book starts.
Yeah.
The Minecraft book in Canvas starts on the 26th, which is tomorrow. Goodness gracious, things are just rushing ahead. So that's just a little bit for some of us who want to participate. Some of us have signed up for it. I hope, bring ideas into this community. It's part of the networking week. The week three in a MOOC is the networking week, according to Dave Cormier. We just had our Orient week, and then we had our Declare, which is I'm still trying to get a blog post written, but in any event, the next week is networking, so we could network with Machinima and learn more about making.
Well, we can create a doodle as maybe and then add ideas whether that could be. It doesn't have to be next week. It can be after the 8th of February. By that time, many of us will have even more skills in playing in Minecraft, and we will build even a more creative world on the server.
We could switch to survival on our server and play it.
When? In week 3?
Maybe.
Philip is keen on survival mode.
Mariana, may I ask you?
Yes.
Yes. First of all, good evening, Evans, Nina, Marjana, and new friends. Mariana, I like your activities in both groups, in your group. I said to English teachers in the events group. But I have a question. Nobody knows here this Minecraft, but all people are speaking about this. It is called Trace Effect. Trace Effect, a game, was demonstrated as shaping. Nina, you are close to Tissot, to America. How to organize learning, how to play this game, these people being here in Uzbekistan? And second question is, this year is dedicated to aged people in Uzbekistan, an extra year. Also, every action, every activity will be supported by our higher people. Therefore, what would be your suggestions for elderly people, for aged people? Because aged people makes a lion's share at every faculty at university in Uzbekistan. Therefore, recommend some play for me as aged people and this Trace Effect. Could you, Marjana, please?
Well, I personally don't know of the game Trace Effects. We just clicked on the link, Halima, that you have shared in the chat. We are trying to open it, and I see it says Trace Effects, a video game for learning American English and culture.
Yes.
So maybe this is something just to explore, maybe to see what is it like, because for me it is the first time that I see this game. And obviously it was probably created for learning American English and culture, I suppose.
Mariana, I always tell to my colleagues about you staying. See, I was Miss Mariana 5 years before in EVO trainings. Do you remember in Teresa
Gubia? Yes.
And now
yeah, it was becoming
so advanced, so advanced, but mean Central Asia is the same place. Nina, Lyakos, please help us, because we have 12 stations from this university in Washington State dedicated to shaping new ways, and always demonstrated this game, Trace. All people knows how to play, nobody knows, Nina. Maybe we organize something, combine English with
Spanish. Halima, Trace Effects is a different kind of game. It's free. You can download it. You can get it. But we're talking about Minecraft now.
I cannot play so good like Mariana, like your son.
We're trying to organize ourselves for next week. Okay. So if you don't mind, we can talk about Trace Effects in a little bit. Mariana has to go. So can we get the conversation back on Minecraft? And we'll talk a little bit about Trace Effects later.
Well, first of all, Philip, yes, and I have to leave, actually, because I have other duties. We can create, as you said, Vance, a Google Doc for the ideas. If those who are brave enough, Philip says that he would make the creative mode survival mode. We will talk, and I will create a Google Doc of the ideas what we can have as a machinima to make with Fraps to record, and maybe another idea is to have a Google Doc and maybe to just start writing which type of gaming or can we use for, I don't know, speaking activities, listening, what kind of, like a lesson plan, what can you do, give your kids, your students, at a certain age, what level of language they could try and practice. So for me, I will make it public and editable. So Barbie also has some ideas. Tamash, I know he was starting. David will probably add a lot of his ideas. And maybe we can make something, maybe some kind of ebook of what we have came up with. And I'm sure, as you said, when we start tomorrow with the Canvas Minecraft Edu, we will get even more ideas, because the point is in using Minecraft for education. So let's see what is going to happen in week 3. Okay, thank you, everybody. I'm sorry that we have to leave early.
Well, you have an event set up. They're meeting with Vicky Hollett to talk about making movies in the ICT for ELT EVO session, which starts in about an hour an hour from now. Whoa, better get over there.
Yeah, I have to go because Vicky had some problems with uploading presentations. So thank you all. Bye, Nina, Carol, Barbie, Bobby, Vance, Halima, if she's still here, I can't see. So we'll talk soon.
Say hi. Okay, thanks very much. Thanks a lot for Philip. I really love the way this session is turning the normal, what we consider normal, on its head, and that is we're learning a lot from Carlos, who's 12, and Philip, who's 11.
It's so nice that he even joined us.
Yes. Yeah. I'm really impressed with Carlos as well. He's a very articulate young Spanish boy who writes blog posts and seems like an adult, really. And so does Philip in the same, way. So anyway, well, thank you very much.
Okay.
Are there any? I don't know if how long people want to stay here. There's never any real reason to stop, except that people get hungry and sleepy, and people on our side of the world. And I think most of us, except for Nina, she's just starting her day there in Maryland. But the rest of us are kind of getting toward. It's 7 o'clock in the evening here. It's about time we could go, and looks like dog walking is on Carol's agenda. But so let's take some last comments about Minecraft and or how you think the session is going. Your recommendations. What should we be doing more of? What should we be doing differently? Any comments?
Can I butt in?
Yes, please do.
What I love about it is that I have to learn something, which is Minecraft itself. And the situation that my students can teach me things, they love it. So I think they love the situation that they teach the teacher something. And I now that Philip suggested this thing that we should go survival mode. So I think this is very good. So perhaps, so this is, you know, moving out of the comfort zone, and these things to me, it's like that.
Sure. Then we'll have to learn to craft and apply our skills. Sure. Why not?
This sort of direction is very good. So
okay. All right, we'll take that as a vote for survival.
Yeah, and you know, and trying new things all the time, and just learning and that, like, you know.
I'll get ready to die again and again and again.
Watch some YouTube videos about survival mode, because they explain how to do it. And then Philip did one as well, where he barely escaped something attacking him in a cave. He burst out into the daylight and managed to survive it. He makes it possibly look a little harder than it is, or maybe it is hard, I don't know. Haven't really tried it myself, but I guess I'll have to if that's what we're going to do. And that's how we learn. We keep challenging ourselves. Okay. Any other comments before we sign off the Minecraft part of this?
No, thanks very much for organising it. It's been great fun. I mean, I've learnt more from the kids in the last, was it 2 weeks now or 1 week, I can't remember, than I did when I was trying to do it on my own. I spent about a month and never got nearly this far.
Yeah, well, that's great. And, well, I never got this far either, but then I hadn't really been around people where I could try it. And so just having a server available has been quite handy and useful, and it's phenomenal what we've accomplished just there. It's quite obvious. You can just wander around that world.
That has made a big difference, hasn't it? Mm-hmm. Because I never knew where to log on to. I mean, there are teacher sites, but if you log on, that you don't know anybody. You can't talk easily to people because they're all building and doing things in groups. And it is quite hard to get into it when you haven't got anybody.
And Philip can set up servers. Jeff, of course, can show us how to do it. There was a previous Minecraft MOOC that was what it was about, setting up servers. I think it's probably not that difficult.
Have a server, though. I mean, do you have a server?
If you have a computer, you could probably set it up as a server. But here again, it's no, I don't do that, but
no, I can set up Minecraft for me. I mean, I could download Minecraft and set it up for me on my computer as a server, but nobody else can get in.
Okay. Well, we can crack that nut, because that's probably what we need to do if we're going to use it with our students. Where do you play, Barbie? What server do you use?
I don't know. I have no idea what server I use. So I most of my students. I have experience with tablets. No, and then I don't know what the server is, but we can play multiplayer. Like I am on one tablet and my students on the other tablet. The rest of the time we play on the PC, and I don't know.
Yeah, well, on the PC, you know, if you go to multiplayer mode and then you connect to, you put the IP address of Jeff's server, let's say, so that's space.
I showed it to one of my students, but mm-hmm. It's just, you know, he didn't enter from his ID. Oh, they don't even have IDs because they illegally download Minecraft, so they don't buy it.
Okay. That's well, you can download it legally. You can download all the copies you want, but to get a user ID, that's the thing you...
They don't have user IDs because those copies are... Or I don't know what sort of IDs they have. Well, I don't know. I better not say anything because I have no idea.
Yes, this is all being recorded, and you know the authorities are listening in, of course.
No, it was just a joke.
Yeah,
too late.
That's the downside, is that somebody has to pay $25 to join the game. So that's or the school has to buy it or something like that. So or you. Hack it. I guess we're going to learn from Barbie a little bit on the side how to do that. So anyway.
Okay. Well, I'm going to leave you all. Thanks ever so much.
Okay. Thank you. Enjoy walking your dog.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for coming along. It's great to interact with you here in this space.
So, I'll see you all on Minecraft at some point over the next few days.
I'll make a doodle, try to set something up for Tuesday and Wednesday. That's when I'm free. And then if anybody else wants to make another one, then you can also set up your own, propose your own times. But I'll be setting them up. I'll be setting one up for about this time, Tuesday and Wednesday, over
Tuesday,
a range of a few hours.
Yeah, Tuesday I can join. Wednesday I've got Mashin Evo, so Monday, Wednesday, Friday is Mashin Evo, so that's pretty good. Although it might not be the same time. We'll see how the time works out.
Yeah, well, I'll set a range of times, you know, that we did before, and see if we have any other takers, and if we do, we can go and meet in the server.
Great.
And Nina said, who pays for these things? Sometimes schools buy...
schools buy server space. Universities. Yes. Universities often set up a server.
And we've all got our individual logins. You buy a login and then you use it wherever it happens to be available.
I guess a lot of people actually run servers, but it's knowing somebody on all the different servers. I suppose people build groups where they go regularly. I'm not quite sure.
For kids, you have to get whitelisted on a server. I'm not sure if the whitelist on ours is working. I kind of have the impression that Jeff hasn't really set that up, but which would mean anybody can join it. But you know, if it becomes a problem, obviously you have to whitelist people so you don't get bad
don't
people.
Don't get green first. Yeah. It's quite a lot of responsibility if you're going to be using it with kids.
Yes. Yeah. So,
from the way I see it anyway, a lot of e-safety issues and stuff that you'd have to guard against. Interesting.
Well, most schools just set it up, but you don't really need anything more than, that's what I've discovered, you know, that with the one that Jeff set up with just a few users, it's great, you know, it's fine. You can do quite a lot there. You know, you don't really need to go into something like Second Life, which is an open space for everybody. You know, you don't have to bother with that. You know, you can just set up your own little space and build, and especially that would even be better, because then you have control of the environment. You mm-hmm. can, Jeff does, change the maps. You can have maps. I think that's what teachers will do. They'll create maps, or they'll have maps set up, and then one day they can use that one, and another day they can bring in something else in the same server space and have the kids go explore that.
Interesting.
So, a lot for us to learn.
There is, yes. We're just touching the very, very start of it, aren't we? Thanks ever so much, then. See you soon. See you in on the Minecraft platform sometime.
mm-hmm.
Both of you.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye, Barbie. Nice to see you again. Okay, bye-bye. I'll stop the recording. This is Vance Stevens in Al Ain, United Arab Emirates. Ending for January 25th, 2015, another Learning Together session, part of the regular weekly all-year-round Learning Together events, but this happens to be EVO MC15, Electronic Village Online MOOC session. Some participants had agreed to come here and chat, and that's what we've been doing. And so thank you very much. Bye-bye, everybody.